All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I will not take much more of your time. Let's just do something briefly on. And I heard the apostle talking about it also when I walked in, about praying for the nation, praying for people who are ministering in that part of the country. It's very important. Let me just say something one of my friends said. Once he was in Lagos, so one minister, he didn't tell me who, and I didn't want to know who, you know. The man called him and sat him down and said, when is he leaving? I said, leaving where? Leaving Sokoto, where you are pastoring. He said, I'm not planning to leave. What time did I explain to him? Look, it's a ministry. Come down, Abuja is okay. You can come and do ministry in Abuja. Just come closer down. So he told the man that if I leave, the problems there will increase. And then the problem will start coming down because it's getting stronger up there. And then eventually it will come down here and meet you here. So I think I should just stay there and keep it far anyway. The man said, yeah, it's true. The Lord is good. Now, this might sound funny, but what that man said, I believe, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's actually the truth about the matter, okay? In fact, you know, when God is planning things, when the Lord sent him there, you know, anything you are not planning to do, you wonder why other people are doing it. So me, I will wonder, do it. But now, I realize that it's a good thing. Now, if you ask me now, what do you think? I would say, yes, you are doing what is good, you are doing what is right, okay? But let me not get sidetracked into talking about that in details, but we have to continually pray for people who are going to do that work over there. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. On Saturday, I said there is something I want to talk about today. All right, open your Bibles quickly, Isaiah chapter 28. Let me just share something from there briefly. The book of Isaiah chapter 28. 26, I want you to say, please, not 28. I said 26. In my mind, I thought I was saying 26. It's 20, I was typing 26 in here. Why telling you 28? I want to explain a principle that's a bit frightening. So frightening, I believe, that most people who teach the word of faith will not accept what I'm about to say, except God is opening their eyes and their ears to a different level of truth. Many years ago, I heard Miles Monroe speak. Then I just got to Lagos. I had this series of messages by Miles Monroe. One of them they are called The Best of Miles Monroe, all right? And one of them, he came down to the U.S. to come and minister after Hurricane Andrew had just hit the United States, well, hit the Caribbean, down to Florida area, all those areas. It hit, you know, on the Pacific. It affected the Bahamas, where he lives, where his ministry is based, affected parts of the United States, all right? It was a very, very serious hurricane that year. That must have been around 1994, or I think it was 94, Hurricane Andrew. It was a very, very serious hurricane, one of those Category 5 hurricanes that is the top of the league, you know? And then he managed to get out of the United States, get out of Bahamas on the first flight after their airport was opened, all right? And he just managed, like I came in now, that was how he managed to get into that meeting. And he was teaching in one man's church, Billy Joe Doherty. He's late now. Now, and that day he made a statement which I had never heard before as a man brought up in the Word of Faith, you know, teachings. And he said that we should be careful how we judge things. That hurricane was not the devil, it was God. And it wasn't funny, the hurricane. I mean, you can imagine, it devastated places, killed people, leveled homes, did a lot of things bad, you know. And he said that this hurricane is not from the devil, that it's God, that some things needed to be shaken. That did not sit well with his host minister, because he was a typical Word of Faith stock, you know. It didn't sit well. We often say that only the devil causes problems. God never does anything bad. Anything that is bad that happens is the devil. Anything that is good that happens is God. God is always good and the devil is always bad. God is totally good and the devil is totally bad. And we judge what is God and what is not God by whether it feels good or it does not feel good. Now, of course, you've heard me long enough, most of us here, and you know I don't share that school of thought. We will say that... What about the Old Testament where the Bible says that God did this? We will say that the word there actually is not did, it's allow. And God said that I will not put these diseases upon you that I put on the Egyptians. He said, God does not put disease. There is no disease in heaven. Where will he get disease from? You know, we say things like that. That only the devil has disease. So when God said, I will not put it upon you, actually what he was saying, they will not quote one particular rare concordance and Greek rendering, which is not available. I have checked, I'm sure I've checked more than 25 translations of the Bible, all right, which I've read over time. At each point in time, I have at least 20 on my computer, you understand, because of these programs that we use these days, all right? On my tab, I have them plenty. I'm sure I've read more than maybe up to 30 translations, and not one of these translations use that expression, that God did not do, he only allowed. We say that. Now, I'm very careful for those of you who are Bible scholars who are teachers of the gospel, you have to be careful. Anything that you read to and fro, nobody else, and you're talking Greek and Hebrew, nobody else seems to know it apart from you. Even if you believe it, don't say it. At least somebody else should at least, you know, have discovered somewhere. Or otherwise, if you tell me you are tying two scriptures to bring out the truth, I understand. But to say that of all the 30 something, well, you know, the world has more than 100 translations of the Bible, I'm sure. But common ones are more than 30. Although those ones, none of them has you seen that in, you just hold it to yourself. Find another way to explain it. So we used to say that until now a lot of people hold to that. And they never accept that anything that's not good was caused by God. Let me quickly say something to you because we don't have much time today. Hopefully I will develop it next time. Let's say straight. Go and read the book of Revelations. When these seals were being opened, each of those seals opened, they were the judgments of God being poured upon the earth. And God said like this, I, the Lord, in fact, God said it, I am about to devise evil against these people. You must understand, he did not say, I'm about to allow evil to be devised against them. He said, I, the Lord, I do good and I create evil. What he's saying is that when it is time to punish people, I know how to do it. Let me say something to you again about the will of God. There is a difference between what God does and what his will is. God does not always do his will on the earth. Now, let me explain what I'm saying now. What God wants, what God planned, is his will. Do you hear what I said? What God does, what God planned, and what he desires is actually his will. What happens on the earth is not always that will of God. That is why you have to pray, thy will be done. If it was always being done, it would have been an unnecessary prayer point. Very important point for you to bear in mind. If what is always being done on the earth is the will of God, then that prayer is unnecessary. If you have to pray, the will of God be done on the earth, as it is written, we discussed that before, in heaven, then that it shows you simply that prayer is necessary for the will of God to be done, which means without the prayer, what is being done is not the will of God. Is that not common sense? It's simple. It's simple. There's no rocket science in there. So what God wants actually is for his will to be done. That is why you are here, so that you, as an authority holder on this earth, can bring the will of God to be done into the earth, into the environment. Otherwise, what is being done is not the will of God. That is one thing. And then the other thing is this. The fact that it's not the will of God does not mean God did not decree it. I've explained to you before, God functions in different, you know, areas. Later on, when we finish our series on Christ the Final Truth, you're going to laugh when I tell you the next title. What I would share after that, although I've taught it, of course, there's nothing new. Now, we keep on saying this in different ways. I want to talk about what I call the seven names of God. That's the Christ final truth. No, we'll finish that one. Which one are we talking about? The cross of Christ. When we finish, or either immediately after or shortly after, we'll talk about the seven names of God. All right? Now, you see what I'm going to talk about later. But why I brought it up now is the fact that the names of God. No, why I mention the names of God is that what he does, there are different aspects to God on this earth. And if you are not acquainted with the scriptures, if you are not well taught, you will think that either those who wrote the Bible, they don't have sense, those prophets, those who wrote those histories, or God smokes. Did you hear what I said? You know what I mean by God smokes? Yes, you think so. A very good example is what I say all the time. God says to Moses, Moses, go and deliver the children of Israel out of captivity. Then as he's going, God met him on the way to kill him. I don't know whether you hear that. God spoke to Moses. He called him. You know the story. After all the arguments, I cannot talk. No. I'm not fluent in speech and everything. This is the rod in your hand. And then on the way to go and do the job, the Bible says God met him on the way and sought to kill him. Without going to this is about it, it's simple. God performs different functions. All right? The way it relates with us. Number one, there is God the Father, which is the ultimate revelation of God. That's the ultimate revelation. Nobody understood God the Father until Jesus Christ came. But the one I'm talking about is there is God the Judge. God the Judge runs the day-to-day affair of this earth. That's why he tells that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men. That's God the Judge. That's my little book, By Faith Acquire Life. Please, go and read it. It will give you good understanding of life. Every day in life, petitions are being raised up against, not in your favor, against you. Petitions are against you. There's never any petition to support you. Every day. Whether he's the Father or not, whether he loves you or not, as judge, he must judge with righteous judgment. So if the devil were to rise up against you in judgment, and God saw the devil wearing horns, you know, the way human beings paint him, with red face, black body, you understand my point? And goat legs. And he comes to the court of God and he presents sound argument against you, God will rule against you. There is no other way. That is what is called being just. That's how a just person, a just judge, that's how he behaves. That's why, please, go and read that book. By Faith Acquire. Good enough. We released it last week as a PDF. And, of course, people are already downloading it very, very seriously. So please, go and read the book. That's just by the way. Try and read it, okay? Get a hard copy. If you have your tab, you read on your computer, read on your tab. Please, whatever machine you use, download it onto your machine and read, okay? I explain the principle in there. That's why I'm emphasizing that you should read it again is that you must understand how to behave in life. You must not be a law person. You know, they call law person. Always arguing your right. You must, you know what I mean? Like, I did this, I did not do that. Hope in God's mercy. Are you getting my point? Yeah, there's a reason why. There's a reason why. If you go into that area of what I have done, what I have not done, the devil is very, very strong there. But when you hope in the mercy of God, you see what the Bible means when it says that the blood of Jesus, all right, purges us of all iniquity. That statement is very powerful. Many of the things you are doing wrong on a daily basis, Satan cannot use it to talk against you. Why? Because you are literally covered by that blood of Jesus. The whole burnt offering is being offered up once and for all, which means that the smoke is rising every time before God. That smoke doesn't die out. It's rising every time. So what you do, you ensure that you are covered, because by that, you have Jesus, the advocate with the Father, all right, who makes intercession for the saints. He ever liveth. So what people do that puts them in trouble is when they remove themselves from under the covering of the intercessory power of Jesus Christ. But my emphasis is this. God is judge. So God, the judge, does not always, now listen to what I'm saying now. Listen to what I'm saying. He does not always decree his will when he's making judgment. You know, I started by explaining the will of God. God has a will, and that's how I have to pray his will. His will is that you prosper, live in good health. His will is that you are blessed. His will is that there is no disorder on this earth. His will, he has a will, and that will is written. Now, but that's the will, that's God the Father, that's his desire. But God the Judge, you have to take the will, the person that uses the will of God, all right, in petition is the advocate to the Father and people who are on his side, Jesus Christ and people like you and me. Both for yourself, and then you use it in making intercessions for other people. Please, I'm going to emphasize that principle again, that God, as judge, he can say to Hitler, go ahead, destroy 6 million Jews. It doesn't sound right. People say that's not the character of God. It's not. I'm not talking about the character of God the Father. I'm talking about character of God, what? The judge. The only thing, before you can say that what he did is not good, you have to examine the case for which reason he said, do it. If he wrote a law, I don't want to go sit on that Jew matter again now, all right? But you will see the words of Jesus Christ. He made it clear that the reason why Jerusalem was going to be destroyed was simply because of the blood of the prophets that were shed from the time, all right? That was shed from the time of Abel down to Zechariah the prophet that was killed between the porch and the altar. And he said that for that reason, I will bring them more prophets. They will kill. They will do this. Why? So that the blood can cry out to God the judge. And then the God the judge will now decree destruction upon Jerusalem. And what did God the Father do? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to go and deliver people from the judgment that's about to come. And that was what they used to preach. Repent and be delivered from the judgment that is about to come. Very, very important. We bear this in mind. You will see later on, we don't have much time today, but that's what I began to say on Tuesday. Because there are times on Saturday, we have meditated about many of the things happening on the earth. All right? And I realize that sometimes we misjudge what is going on. And that's why sometimes they appear as if our prayers don't have the kind of effect that we think it should have. Actually, the prayer is effective. It's doing its own work. But you must understand, this is why I said this is difficult to preach. I pray that God will give me utterance to say the right words, and you listening to me, on the understanding heart, to understand his will in what I'm explaining. The truth, okay? Now, I was saying that you should read the book of the Revelations. You see, as the seals began to be opened, all that was happening was destruction. It was destruction. It was destruction. And in no instance was the devil blamed for any one of it. Let me say, when it comes to punishing people, let me say something to you. When it comes to killing people, punishing people, making people suffer, are you hearing what I'm saying? When it comes to affliction and plagues and diseases, the devil is an amateur where God is. Do you hear what I said? Are you sure you heard me? The devil doesn't know how to punish people. He does not know how to kill, even though he seeks to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is not what God seeks to do. But when we have to do it, the person who knows how to do it is God. God said, I will do something to these people that those who hear it, their ears will tingle. They were not there. There was no CNN. Now here, they just hear. And their ears will start singing. That's why the Bible describes God as a consuming fire. Let me tell you, the good thing about God is that he wants people. And number two, he's very merciful. Very, 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 very. He's long-suffering. Like I say all the time, long-suffering and ever-suffering are two different things. Anything that is long means it has a definite length. It may be long. You understand? But ever is the one that just, you know. So it may be long-suffering, but that tells you that the time comes in which his patience is exhausted. Very important we understand these things. I want to lay this foundation, all right, before we read these things, so that we know how to pray for a nation. Another thing I need to say quickly is that one of the reasons why God used to give some commandments, all right, which people don't understand by his character, which is to sound very, very terrible. He will tell the nation of Israel, and you must understand that God can see into the future. You understand my point? Literally. As you are standing here, if you raise your hand like this, he knows how raising that hand is going to affect your life over the next 8 years. You get what I'm saying? Yes, he sees into that he just sees everything. Everything is laid, you know, plainly before him. So sometimes he will tell the nation of Israel, when you get into that land, do me a favor. Kill everybody. And they say, what? He said, yes, when you get there, kill everybody. Male, female, old, and young. There are times he will tell you, kill all the men. You can take the women as wives. Yeah. But at times, he said, no, even the women, don't touch. This one will tell you that if the woman is young, she has not married, you can take her as wife. The one that is married, kill her. Now, in modern day, and for some people, that's why they can't read the Bible. Because they expect God as a nice guy. Well, somebody explained, which is the truth. He said, you say that, why should God do like that? He said, then why do doctors remove cancer? That's killing. Yeah. Somebody has, I work in a hospital. In fact, because of my job, I'm a pathologist. Most of you here know, all right? So I know what I see at work every day. In fact, the program where I'm coming from, the major thing we're discussing is treatment of breast cancer. You tell the doctor, the woman has breast cancer. Next thing, I remove the whole breast. Right? And he thinks, and the woman is thinking, thank you, doctor. Why does he do that? For obvious reasons. He believes. Of course, his understanding is limited. Now, in fact, one of the things we're discussing again, they've modified it for the last many years. They say you don't have to remove the whole breast. You can cut a portion of it. You give this radiation. You don't want radiation. You don't want radiation to touch your leg. Radiation is very dangerous. It causes cancer later on in life. Why treating one today? But the doctor will beam it on the patient, and he or she will lie down there. Why? It's simple. Because he has looked at it. If I don't kill off all these cells, the cells are part of you, but they are growing crazy. They've gone mad. They are going to spread, and that's what cancer does. It starts somewhere, maybe in the foot, we're talking about the breast as an example. Next thing you know, it has grown. It's inside the bones. It's inside the head. It's inside the lungs. That's why they call it cancer. And it just crossed. The word cancer comes from the word crab. All right? Crab in Latin, I think, or one of those languages. All right? So that's why it just crossed. It crossed. So the doctor is trying to catch it and remove it and kill it. And this is the perfect explanation for what God used to do. He tells the people of Israel, when you get into that land, those people are so corrupted that if they enter into your system, they crawl all over the place. They infect you with ungodliness. And anytime I see ungodliness persistently, eventually I destroy the whole thing. So as to prevent all of you from being destroyed, please, when you get there, kill the cancer cells for me. And once they don't kill the cancer cells will always infiltrate amongst the Israelites, teach them the bad ways, and eventually everybody is destroyed, which was exactly what happened to Solomon's house. Solomon went, made friends with cancers. Are you getting my point? That's the judgment of God. That's why God is always just. His ways are always true. Good, the Bible says, and upright is he. God is upright. He's good. We must bear these things in mind when we are praying, all right? There's a reason why I'm going into all of this. Isaiah chapter 26, I think we should read there. Quickly open your Bibles and let's read it. Let me start from. Okay, let's start from verse 7. I'll leave the other ones for that. There's something else I need from the other one. We'll read that one on Saturday. It said, the way of the righteous is smooth, verse 7. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. He said, indeed, while following the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee eagerly. Thy name, even thy memory, is the desire of our souls. Verse 9, at night my soul longs for thee. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks thee diligently. For when the earth experiences thy judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Though the wicked is shown favor, he does not learn righteousness. He deals unjustly in the land of uprightness and does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. Please note it. Verse 11 says, O Lord, thy hand is lifted up, yet they do not see. They see thy zeal for the people and are put to shame. Indeed, fire will devour thy enemies. Verse 12 says, now he said, Lord, thou will establish peace for us, since thou hast also performed for us all our works. O Lord, our God, other masters besides thee have ruled us, but through thee alone we confess thy name. The dead will not live, the departed spirits will not rise. Therefore, thou hast punished and destroyed them, and thou hast wiped out all remembrance of them. Let me just stop here. I want to stop here. I've picked up some crucial words that I want to bring out from here. First one that I want to notice is the fact that he said that when thy judgments are on the earth, when the earth experiences thy judgments, the inhabitants of the world, they learn righteousness. There's another one I should read. I'm looking for a particular word. Let me quickly go down to it. It's also in that portion. From verse 20, it says, come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide, he says, for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. I want to talk briefly about the indignation of God. What did I call it? I didn't hear you well. Okay, let's say it in common day Nigerian English. I want to talk about when God the vex. Like the comedians, they say, when God don't provoke. Let me talk about that briefly. When God is angry, let me tell you what you see. It's simple. Let's just get down to it straight. When God is angry, what do you see? I'll give you a number of things. You see outbreaks of diseases. Please, I'm not talking about the devil. Can the devil cause problems? Yes. But an angry God is more dangerous than a wicked devil. Let me say that one more time. An angry God is more dangerous than the wicked devil. That is, if you see God in his anger, and there is no way to pacify him, it's better to just run away and go and meet the devil. Even Jesus said it, don't fear the one that can only kill flesh. Fear the one that will first destroy your flesh. Then after killing the flesh, he goes into the spirit, start dealing with the soul. Confuse the spirit, wrap all of them, throw them into eternal fire. No, really. You see a wicked devil, and you see an angry God. The only reason why you should go towards the angry God, just for those of us who are people of God, is that he's actually merciful. His anger, the Bible says, lasts just for a little while. That's the only reason why, if you see the angry God, still stick with him. The reason that his anger is only for a little while. His loving kindness, however, lasts forever. That's the only reason. Were it not that the anger was for a little while, it would have been better, because when you hit the devil, you say, devil, yeah, more try, man to man, you know? You can fight the devil, I'm telling you, I'm not joking about that. You will fight. At least when you don't die, what you could do, I don't die finish now, right, what else? Because the devil can't cast you into anything. It doesn't have the authority. But the reason why we stick even with an angry God is because indeed we know his true character, his real character, the true part of him is that he's a merciful God. And the Bible says anger is for but a little while, but his loving kindness lasts forever. That's why David understood that. God said, choose. Let me tell you that God is more wicked than the devil. No, God said to David, choose. 3 years of famine. Three months in the hands of your enemy. Or 3 days in my hand. That is when God wanted to say, look, me, what famine we execute in 3 years? I mean, I do it in 3 days. Yeah, that's what God said to David. He said, choose. 3 years of famine, 3 months in the hands of your enemy, or 3 days in my hand. David, look up. David, look. He understood this principle. He said, guys, don't worry. His anger is for a little while. Don't worry. He told him, go and tell God that we'll take 3 days in his hands. Because we know his anger is actually for a little while. And really, God couldn't execute 3 days. After the first day, anger done the cool down. By the middle of the second day, and you know, we'll get to it later. Once his anger is for a little while, it doesn't mean he doesn't have the ability to be angry forever if he wanted to. It's just that when he flares up his anger, his people usually become repentant. And his anger cannot stand in the face of repentance. That's how it is. So David knelt down there, begged. David said, relax, he will soon agree. David just did there, you know, put his head down. After a while, he offered an intercession that God had to pipe down. He said, okay, Shebi, I'm the one that sinned. What is it with this flock, these people following me that you are now killing recklessly? By that time, 70,000 were dead. Let me tell you this simply. You know, one of the problems we have is that we don't know how to interpret scriptural stories. We don't have modern words to use for them. What was it that happened that time? People didn't just start dying, you know, and they didn't know what. If it was today, Center for Disease Control, all right, would have gone there and they would have isolated the virus that you and I call the angel of death. They would have found the virus. Listen, the things that killed all the Egyptian boys, the firstborn, if you dig it up, the scientists will sequence the DNA in the lab. You are the one that called it angel of death. They call it an infectious disease, highly contagious. The virus multiplies inside the mast cells and is released by serial degranulation through the linkage with interferon gamma, which causes the transcription. Because they call it any name you like. I'm killing 70,000 people. You know, just to help you understand what I'm saying, I'm a pathologist, all right? So, it's happened before these days, not much, because I limit the amount of work I do so as not to distract me too much. A lot of people come to me many times, somebody died, they want to find the cause of death. And they come to me, of course, you know Africans. Most of the time, what are they looking for? They think it's a witch. The Holy Spirit, this was when I first came to Enugu. He gave me one little thing that I just understood. Once they come, I said, well, I'm a pathologist, yes, I can find out why somebody died. I'll say, by the way, I can't find witches. I used to tell them. I say it jokingly, but they get the point. I said, but this is what I'm talking about. I can find the arrow of the witch. I used to tell them that. I said, the witches use things to kill people. For example, if the witch used a tumor in the brain to kill the person, I will find the tumor in the brain. But whether it was a witch or the boy walk past where you're not supposed to walk past, or it just happened for no reason, I will not be able to tell. I will just show you that this fellow died from this thing. Go back home and go and meet a babalawo to decide whether it is a witch. I don't know. You understand what I'm not explaining? That's actually how it is. That's spiritual things, really. Okay? When the hand of God strikes out like that, people will know what happened. They will. But they just won't know why it happened. You understand what I'm saying? What you call the hand of God usually has a manifestation on the earth. It's like favor also. When God wants to bless you, you can trace it. You can trace the blessing. You see, this man met me. I helped him with his car. He felt obligated to pay me back. He connected me with this man. Then we're developing this particular product. Suddenly they linked us. You'll be able to tell the story. And then after that, the market opened. We had to employ 10 more people. Before we knew what was happening, our turnover was getting into 600 million naira every year. Right now, we're advancing to... And you will be able to, it will not happen that you'll be going on the road. Brethren, praise the Lord. Praise God with me. Hallelujah. I was just walking on the road, the heavens just split open. Dollar just a four. Pounds just a four. Naira just a four. And I heard a voice coming up from heaven say, arise, my son. Begin to pick. Begin to pick. That one, my people, does not happen. It's only, even when the devil does stuff like that, it's inside home video. All this is not easy to see. The dead girl they use for sacrifice will show up with money in a bag and say, and pour the money for the man, and the man will start spending. It's a lie. What did I call it? Lie. Normally, the hands of the things that happen in the realm of the spirit can be decoded, physically speaking. where, in fact, I was telling him, there's a book he gave me to read by Malcolm Gladwell. I said to him yesterday, I said, I finally understood what happened to Malcolm Gladwell. He does not, I said, his natural senses are very sharp. His faith is dull. He always tries to make sense out of that which God has done. And it always makes sense. He explained why it makes sense for David to have killed Goliath. I enjoyed reading him. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed his ignorance. I thank God for that. I mean, I was able to decipher it. Now, let me not even sit on that. So I'm trying to emphasize the fact that when God does things, all right, like that, it will become physically manifested. All right? You will see it. One of the things about the anger of God is you will see it. It can come out in plagues. It can come out we've talked about plagues. Another one, what they call natural disasters. Now, one of the major ways you find the anger of God manifests again is communal clashes. God says, when I want to punish the Egyptian, I will turn his heart against that of his brother. Did you hear what I said? When God is angry, the Tutsis will turn on the Hutus, or the Hutus will turn on the Tutsis. When God is angry, you go to Kosovo, you will find the, what do you call those people? Chechens are not there. Chechens are in Russia. That's in that time, the Bosnian Serbs, the Bosnian Croats, and the Muslims, you see them turn against each other. It's the word of God. He said, when I want to punish the Egyptians, I will turn the heart of the Egyptian against that of his brother. It's the anger of God. When you hear of wars, that's how it begins to develop. Now, listen. Like I told you when I started saying this, I said, look, people, oftentimes they don't believe that God does such things, but don't believe them. He does. The scriptures make it clear that he does. The only thing is that he does not like it. You must understand what I'm saying. These are the functions of this. These are judicial functions. Do you hear what I call it? What do I call it? As a judge, when people will have provoked him, that's what I'm getting to. When they will have provoked him to anger, and he will have looked for an intercessor. And an intercessor is not just somebody who prays. That is one. We must get that point clear. It's not just somebody who opened his mouth and prayed. It's somebody who, number one, departs from iniquity. That's number one. Before you now talk about the fact that the fellow prays, he or she first departs from iniquity. An intercessor does not share bribery money. Are you getting my point? No, he can't share it. Otherwise, he's not an intercessor. Whatever it is, when people have provoked God to anger, and that's another thing I want to understand. Even though his Bible says that he's slow to anger, that's one thing we should get. He's not quick to anger. No, in fact, I think we should just read it so that because of time, I'm saying many of these things without making giving us references. Psalm 85, from verse 15. He said, but thou, O Lord, art a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Eh? What did I say? I said 85. It's because I traveled and came late. 86. Oh, God. 86 from verse 15. He said, for thou, O Lord, art a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. I just want to emphasize the word slow to anger. He doesn't get angry quickly. And let me show you something else. Okay? Let's go to 2 Chronicles. There's something there. That 2 Chronicles is the last chapter of the 2 Chronicles. That's where I'm going. Chapter 36. Yes, I was right. I'm talking about how to pray for a nation. I have not forgotten. Chapter 36, 2 Chronicles. Let me just rush from verse 9. Let me start from verse 9. Jehoiachin, whatever, was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 3 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And at the turn of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon. I'm jumping now, please, okay? Zedekiah, verse 11, was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah, the prophet who spoke for the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear allegiance by God. Now, verse 14 says, furthermore, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following, that is how, this is how their unfaithfulness was manifested. They followed all the abominations of the nations, and they defiled the house of the Lord, which he has sanctified in Jerusalem. And the Lord, now, notice verse 15. And the Lord, the God of their father, sent word to them again and again. Remember, he's slow to anger. And by his, he says, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy. Therefore, he, not the devil, God, brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. And he had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them all into his hand. That is, God gave them all into the hand of a man that was cruel and did not have the capacity to have any mercy. That was when the anger of God was what? Provoked. If you go and read Revelations, you will hear that one plague began. He wiped out this portion of the earth, and the people still did not repent of their iniquities. You see, God's mercy is not a useless mercy. You can activate his mercy, I told you before, with repentance. Stubbornness of heart is the reason why people persist under the anger of God. He's actually a very merciful God. But what I've tried to explain is the fact that people shouldn't say he does not get angry. He does. He gets displeased. Now I've established that principle that God does get angry. And when he's angry, it's not as if you just in heaven. What happened? God is angry. Just boom, boom, boom. As you're walking on the road, as he's pacing up and down the corridors of heaven. What is happening? God is angry. That's why you're hearing that noise. No, you won't hear that. You hear natural disasters occur. You hear the heart of one nation turned against the other. Are you getting my point? Those are the manifestations of God's anger. This is where our prayers often go wrong. Let me say it, then I round up, please, and I close. We have believed very strongly that everything is because of the wickedness of Shekau. As an example, who's Shekau? The leader of Boko Haram. We have spoken as if the arm of the wicked is strong. That is why there is a problem. We have never reasoned, very few of us who have been brought up in modern-day Christianity, reasoned that could it be the indignation of God we are dealing with? I said there is no remedy. I didn't say so. I am saying you must understand that perspective for you to be able to pray, because when David was under the hand of God, because God tells him, I could drop in the hand of your enemy for 3 months. And if you know David very well, the kind of person he was, in fact, it's good he went the way he went, because it would have been very funny. David would have refused to command his troops to go to battle, because he would have known that this is the hand of God. Every little nation will have come, harassed Israel. He sent out his best soldiers, they all die in battle. But he said, no, let's stay. Let the enemy not laugh. Let them know that it's our God. And a plague broke out over the land. It could have been Lassa fever, Ebola virus, Yersinia pestis infection, that's a bubonic plague. It could have been, I don't know what it was. But that thing was so bad, it killed 70,000 people in a day and a half. David now began to feel sorry. The compassion he had for the people of Israel was what God looked at and told the angel of death, stop. And this is the interesting part. David looked up and physically saw the angel. Yet, if he had sent scientists out, they would have been culturing bacteria. You see, that's what people don't realize. Scientists think because they have advanced now, it means that what was in the Bible was myth. It's not myth. It's called the hand of God. Now, why am I talking about this? So that when we want to pray, and they bear this in mind, that is what is called indignation. Then you learn how to pray for mercy, which is what no one must talk about. You learn how to do what? Pray for mercy. Because of time, of course, I'll close now. I'll continue from this particular point. And in today's day, because of a country like ours that have Christians, they have the Church of God. The Church of God has a special responsibility. And they currently, as far as I understand it, they are more culpable in the problems of a nation than anybody else. Yes. Darkness, when the church, the light doesn't shine, darkness seems to have power. So the question is that why is light not shining? The main thing I want to explain, we'll get into it next time because, like I told you, I came late today, so let's just summarize this and so we can go home. The main thing I want to bring out is this. The judgment of God comes in two levels. There's a third level beyond this physical earth. I'm talking about the physical earth, all right? Now, you don't want the second level. The second level is terrible. It's the one that it says until there's no remedy. Are you getting my point? Until that's the one in which it says their indignation has to run its course. God will say, no, don't worry about it. Okay, I've heard your prayer, but you give me another, you guys, just give me another 6 weeks. I have things to do. You will pray, more hurricane. You pray, more bomb blast. You pray, more shooting. You pray. Say, God, how far now? God said, it remains 2 weeks. You pray, at least after a while. Say, guys, we know they pray again. If God call you, no answer the phone. Yeah, that is, people just be angry. Because, you don't pray. We can't wait till now. You know that kind of thing. You just be tired. It happened to Jeremiah at the time now. Jeremiah just look. Jeremiah look, say, God, you won't kill everybody. Jeremiah just got up one day. He said, God says the Lord, it shall happen. As he was talking, one man just dropped. Pum, he died. Jeremiah, look, God, look. You know, this kind of thing. What? He got angry, went home. I said, God, what are you trying to do? You want to kill everybody? Yeah, it happened to Jeremiah. His man was frustrated. That was why he was praying. That's why, that Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1, that's what happened. He prayed and prayed. God said, enough of praying. Even if you like, go and call Samuel. If you like, call Moses. I still will not answer. Honestly. That's the kind of judgment you and I don't want. We don't want to buy our nation. And that's okay. That's the second level. What is the first level? Which is usually the place where God wants the people of God to stop. That's where he wants your dealing with him to end. That is like, let's not go beyond this level. That's the kind of judgment that stands in-house. Let me give an example. How do I explain this now? God, please, can you understand? How do I explain this now? Okay, I'm talking the national level. Do you understand my point? That's why he says, okay, let me go into, I'm going to look at it in two sides. The church of God and the nation as a whole. Because, let me go into the church and begin to judge people inside. I don't want to take it on an individual level now. In your own personal life, please stop anything you rebuke devil on 3 times. The devil doesn't go away. 3 times. 3 times. Just leave the devil for a moment. Take a leave. Take a Bible. And pray like Elihu. That which I see not, teach thou me. It's very crucial. That prayer is crucial. Let me read this one, please, so that we can close with it. Please. Eh? Now, let's open to Job, all right, quickly. I want to read this one from the book of Job, the words of... it's something I like to read. I read it a lot. Job 33. Now, verse 13, Elijah was speaking. Why do you complain against him that he does not give an account of all his doings? Verse 14 is, indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, that is, that's when God speaks to them in dreams. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Why? So he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from his pride. He keeps, that is, by doing this, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from going, from passing over into the grave. Now, the New American has used the word sheol. All right? Verse 19 says, another level, when God finished talking with dreams, let me just pass my commentary quickly so we can close with it in 3 minutes. God talks in dreams, talks in visions. Another way he talks, he sends your friends to correct you. There are many ways, all right? Different ways he speaks. But Eli was talking about dreams and visions. He has another level by which God speaks. He said, man is also chastened with pain on his bed, with unceasing complaint in his bones, so that his life loathes bread. And his soul, his soul loathes favorite food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones, which were not seen, stick out. Then his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to those who bring death. He said, if there is an angel as mediator for him, one out of 1,000, that is, it's very rare to find, to remind a man what is right for him, this man is sick unto death, then let him be gracious to him and say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found the ransom. What was he saying now? He said, then the prayer is, let his flesh become fresher than the youth. Let him return to the days of his youthful vigor. Then he will pray to God and he will accept him, that he may see his face with joy and he may restore his righteousness to man. Now look at what he said. That when men are going wrong, this is level one judgment I was telling you about. God begins to deal with people. Don't behave like this. Don't do this. This corruption must stop. You guys can't continue like this. Are you getting my point? And I dare to say, a lot of violence and corruption is going on in the land, and the Christians, instead of talking, they keep on collecting Thanksgiving money. I told you once, no, I want to close, so let's leave it. But God tells us his judgment bit by bit. What he's saying is that let it stop at the early levels. That's what he's saying. Let people learn to do what is right. Now, when it comes on a national level, this is a personal level, that's just an example. But when we're talking about things like a church, a nation, and all of that, because look, where I want to stop my judgment is at level one. If I reach level two, are you getting my point? I don't talk, I wipe people out. When the land is polluted by the iniquity of the inhabitants thereof, the kind of wipeout that happens is only the type you only hear in Rwanda and Burundi. In case you do not know it, if David saw what happened in Rwanda, he would be afraid. In one day, God killed 70,000 people. Okay, that was very, very serious. All right, that's a lot. All right, one day and a half. In Rwanda, how many people died in 6 months? Total that died was almost 1 million. In how many months? In 3 months. Different levels, that is, of death. He said, those that escaped the sword will die by this one. That's what God says. Those that escaped the sword died by plague. Cholera came in. It wasn't funny. When I heard that, and I said, the devil could not have done this. This was the indignation of the Lord. I wish somebody could go, let's do some research. We'll have found out where they sinned against God, and God sent them, you know, what they call it, prophets, and they refused to repent. Please, this word, Christian, let's know how we use it. I heard Apostle saying something earlier. That church and, what's the spread of church and spread of gospel are two different things. The number of churches you have in a place and the amount of light in there are two different things. So, you know the buildings. You go to those places around, they have churches all over the place. But God is not afraid to break a church. You know, God, you can finish building church today. God will say, Michael, have you finished? Yes, destroy it. He said, but Lord, we got all the money for 6 years to do this. Michael, put it down. Michael, just go like this. You know, foundation. Woo! Say, Lord, do we kill anybody inside? He said, no. Let the workmen go home, church, choir. They finish rehearsal. Let them go. Somebody will just come and say, are you even still in church? Come, let's go home. It's getting late. As they come on, like they get, krak, krak, wah! 75 million is gone. God likes, in fact, he enjoys it. He does it once in a while to prove to you that there's nothing inside. It's just brick and mortar. Iron rod. Zinc. So God's judgment can enter into a place where he finds churches built everywhere. Let me stop my message here so that somebody will wonder, okay, what is the other thing you want to say? We'll continue next time. All right? When you want to pray and pray against the indignation of God, there are two ways. One, you ask for his mercy. Secondly, you have to authorize his level one judgment. We'll talk about that. You have to, as a person, authorize his level one judgment. That is why when you want to pray for Nigeria now, listen, if you keep shouting for mercy, mercy alone, what you are doing is that you are actually pushing God towards level two judgment. Level two judgment does not require anybody's participation. He sits in heaven by himself, crosses his legs, and does just Michael. Anyone just does like this, the angels will just go. There are some angels in heaven, they like their own work. They don't protect anybody, they don't understand how this. That was the kind of person they sent against that guy going to, what is his name? Balaam. The guy stands for road. Balaam is coming, oh, amen. The guy tossed the sword like this. The guy raised the sword. One angel just went to the other horse. Went to the horse. Horsey, move. And the horse moved like this. Move, begin that. It was one angel that was pushing. Don't kill him. Why won't I kill him? That kind of angel, they're plenty. You know, they are the angels of the vengeance of God. When it gets to level 2 judgment, God releases them in a horde. You know, there's a lot of them. They're just going. They don't discriminate. Listen, when they are through, you will think the devil came by himself. But those guys came from heaven. It's divine indignation. Pentecost says Jesus Christ died to stop that. I say Jesus Christ died to stop that for those who will repent and believe. The death of Jesus has not removed the judgment of God from the earth. It hasn't. What I'm explaining, I'll continue next time. The church has to authorize, and that's my message actually. You have to authorize level 1 judgment so that God's level 2 does not come. I need to say that. You have to authorize level 1. That's what I'm explaining. You have to authorize it. You have to say, God, please, what you will do for us is to go level 1. What is level 1? Please, anyone who will not repent, kill him. When is next election coming? Okay, let's do me a favor if you can remind me. We'll have a prayer meeting the day the next set of guys take office. I will put it on international TV. I won't put it on local radio. Some people will invest for the radio station. This will be Omega Channel. So what do you plan to do? I go swear for people. I'm not joking. Please just remind me. The kind of curses I will release, you'll be afraid to be present. Just in the prayer meeting. I will listen to that narration of Moses, this thing. When Moses was warning the children of Israel in that tape, what they call it? The Bible experience. He was warning them, this will happen if you disobey the Lord thy God. He said, the sight you will see will drive you mad. When I heard that, and I said, and these people still disobeyed God? Ah, in a trial. That's why you can't disobey God if you are paying attention to the word. The only way they could disobey was to refuse to pay attention. Because if you heard those words, go and listen to that Bible experience. When that Moses was narrating it, he was telling them what the enemies will do. Enemy will do this. He said, the sight you will see will drive you mad. I pray that kind of dangerous prayer against iniquity in the land. I will pray it the day guys are taking office, the day before they take office. No, maybe a week before, so we can start broadcasting it. And I will tell people, if they are world contract for a road, you use that money to go to your village and build. When it will collapse, except for anyone that has specially made a personal covenant with God, anyone dependent on you is in trouble. That was why 70,000 people died in Israel. It's called level 1 judgment. If you don't do it, 10 shekels will arise. They are going to move out of Borno, move out of Bauchi, move out of Adamawa, and come towards the south. A time will come, you will not be able to go to ShopRite. That's level 2. You don't want it though. So to solve the wahala, if you are a pastor, go to church, tell your church people. If you want to enter government office, come, we'll pray for you. You are a contractor, don't worry, enter. Come, we'll pray for you. And for those of you who are in ministry, lie all the lie you want to lie in the name of God in 2014. By December, I repent. Because by 2015, at that same time, we have to ask God. We have to beg him. That, Lord, please, put snakes under this pulpit. You know they call snakes, serpent. The type that bite disobedient people. Any man that said, God spoke to me that whoever will give towards his project, his life will begin to move forward. God, bite him. Anyone who quotes you when you did not say,
You don't understand the judgment of God. Ananias and Sapphira did not say God said. Husband and wife just talk to themselves. Why should we give church the whole money? And Peter said to them, who begged you for your money? When the land was there, was it not your own? When you sold it, was the money not yours? What was Peter saying to them? The church doesn't have any right to that land. We lay no claim to it. It's your own to do as you will. But you come into this fresh church, just newly born, no germs inside. That was the first virus that was entering that church. That was why Peter dealt ruthlessly with it. Before that, they had never seen it in the church. The last guy who tried it was Judas. He was gone. What did they come to do? They said, we sold a piece of land. This is all the money. Peter said, what kind of nonsense is this? If money was your problem, why didn't you keep your money? Those guys would have lived if they did not bring that money to that church. But they went and said, we sold the whole land. We are so committed. This is it. Peter looked. He's like, why did you have to do this? The man died. Called the woman again. Bible says, after that, the whole church fear. Say, good money. Say, let me tell you where that's money for. I say, you know what we have now in church? The pastors are the ones telling the lies. My people, we want this nation to have peace. You and I have to authorize level one judgment. We have to. We have to. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your mercy. Because we must never forget, still, you are slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, we have passed into life, we have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ciao, brethren.